and welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewison. With us today from Habitat for Humanity of Newcastle County, we have its CEO, Kevin Smith. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Laura. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while. Build any houses lately?
We're trying very hard.
Well, now, is that sort of one of those, we were going to talk today about what is Habitat, but we're also going to address some of the misconceptions or myths about it. And when I just said you build any houses lately, I think that's probably one of the first ones. What are you building? Are you building brand new construction from the ground up? Are you rehabbing? What are you doing?
Both. Yeah, we do all of that. We build new houses. Many times it's easier to do than renovating homes. But we also renovate houses as well. One of the things that people may not know is that we also do repair work for low-income homeowners also. And we do all of that in the context of really trying to change neighborhoods. So, you know, by building new houses, renovating homes all for sale for first-time home buyers, we're trying to increase the home ownership rate. At the same time, keep homeowners in their houses, because we know that home ownership creates more stability in neighborhoods.
So we're working to build better neighborhoods and keep communities intact, too.
Correct. There's a decline in some of the low to moderate income neighborhoods around Newcastle County. We see ourselves as one of those who help stem the tide and where we can to build houses, but also do repair work. And more recently, actually, we've added another piece called Rock the Block. And Rock the Block, if you're wondering, is where we do exterior beautification, curb appeal kind of projects as well. We know there's data out of the University of Pennsylvania says that when you clean up vacant lots, crime goes down. So, you know, it's all these things working together that really helps create a neighborhood, its safety, its sense of place, and that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, well, we'll parse all of those four areas there. But so basically, though, what's the elevator speech? What is Habitat?
Yeah, Habitat is a 40-plus-year-old organization. It's an international organization. We're in 70 countries around the world. Our mission is that we seek to put God's love into action by building homes, community, and hope. We are a Christian organization, but we're not associated with any particular denomination or branch of Christianity. Again, we're just putting God's love into action and providing opportunities for people. This is not a handout. It's a help up. The families that come to us are working families or working individuals, and they're just looking for the opportunity to buy their first house. So we work in partnership with them. We provide a lot of programming, including financial coaching, construction and home maintenance training, civic engagement training, all so that they'll be successful homeowners in the long run.
What's the service area for this particular? Is it a chapter or an affiliation?
So we're an affiliate of Habitat International, and our service area is Newcastle County. And we do service, I'd say, a pretty broad range. We build houses in Wilmington, in the Newcastle area along Route 9, but also down in Middletown as well, which is in the southern part of Newcastle County. There are particular neighborhoods that we're focused in each of those cities and towns. So we do try to cluster our work. We try not to get too spread out so that we can have as much impact as possible in each area.
That was my next question. Do you target, and how do you decide what area should be developed? Or actually, maybe we should back this up. What's the state of housing in Delaware, especially one that has such extremes in income level, from the very, very super rich to the poorest of the poor reside here?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I think for us, housing is an advocacy issue. People don't always understand what the working poor are dealing with in terms of housing. You know, they generally see people as being either homeless or housed. But there's another segment of people who are basically bouncing around because there's not enough affordable housing in our community. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a single mother with three children. Your options are pay more than 50% of your income on rent, because that's a nice place, but you can't really afford it. So then you might move to somewhere else. Maybe you move in with family members or friends. You can certainly afford that, but now you're doubled up and you're overcrowded. So then you keep looking and you might find some place you can afford. but it's got housing issues, like the heat doesn't always work, or maybe there's structural issues, or maybe it's not the greatest neighborhood. So this is what we're seeing out of folks who are working, is this number of poor choices because there's just not enough affordable quality housing. And we know that without that basic need met, that it affects everything in a family's life. It affects the children's education, it affects their health, all these quality of life issues. So, you know, we also are dealing with thousands upon thousands of either vacant, aborted, or substandard houses that need either to be demolished or renovated. So there's a lot of poor housing stock in the state of Delaware, in the entire state, but also particularly in pockets in Newcastle County.
This is a generational issue too, and home ownership is how a family builds stability and ultimate wealth. And when you've got whole groups that didn't have home ownership to begin with, they're out of luck in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I was talking with somebody a year ago, African-American person, and they were sharing with me, you know, they'd always thought that education was the way to really change their children's lives. And certainly it is, you know, as you go to college and you get a career. But they came to this realization that one of the key factors for them that happened generations ago was that their grandfather owned property. And in America, that transfer of that asset, of that wealth, has really made the difference in terms of getting people out of poverty. So, you know, Habitat is not just focused on housing people, but it's focused on creating home ownership, creating this asset that people own, that they can control, they can pass on to their children. And between the stability and the financial equity that that potentially has for them, this is a way to move out of poverty.
Who qualifies to get, well, let's start with a new home or a renovation home for a family that did not reside in the home beforehand. How do people get into the program?
Sure. So we promote our program in various different ways, but it's basically folks who cannot qualify for a mortgage through the normal means, you know, their credit score is not high enough, or maybe they have some delinquent debt. So they're going to want to come to Habitat and apply to our program. They're actually applying for our zero interest mortgage. Did you hear me, Laura?
Mm-hmm.
Zero interest.
Wow.
So, you know, that's one of the ways that we can really reach down and serve people who make as little as $28,000, $30,000 a year, is this zero interest mortgage. Give you an example, the mortgage payment, including escrow, is about $650 a month. And so most of the folks who apply are already paying $800, $900, $1,000 or more in rent. So they're getting a break financially, and they're owning their house. So we're really trying to get the word out, you know, people who are in the teaching industry, healthcare industry, service industry, wherever you're making, let's say, between $28,000 and $55,000 a year, you don't think you can become a homeowner? Well, you can through Habitat for Humanity.
How many homes or how many families are placed each year through Habitat programs?
Yeah, through our qualification process, we approve about 18 to 20 a year. And, you know, it's a funnel, if you will, of people who come to our meetings, some of whom choose to apply, some of whom who choose not to. But we basically are screening people based on their economics. We do pull a credit report, but you know, the minimum credit score is 570, unlike a bank where it's probably 730. Even if people get turned down, we recommend where they can go work on their credit and reapply. So we just encourage people to give it a shot, just to see if they qualify, see if this could be for them. There is a requirement that they work on their house and their neighbor's house and put in sweat equity. All told, the normal time frame to get through the program is about 9 months to a year.
That's really not long. So you have regular meetings or seminars, et cetera, and people come in and learn about the program and finally learn about their credit scores and the mortgage process?
That's correct. We set up meetings at fire halls, churches, schools, service agencies, even in our office. We probably hold a dozen of these a year. We've been promoting them quite a bit on Facebook, boosting our posts that way. And we're really seeing a great turnout, you know, and I just think that people don't realize there's this opportunity that they might benefit from. And of course, we have a lot of our current homeowners who also spread the word by word of mouth, too. So their family, friends, coworkers, they tell all about it. But yeah, we just want as many people to know that this is an option. We're a fair housing organization, so we do not discriminate for any reason. You just basically have to financially qualify.
So once someone comes into this meeting, I'm guessing that you go through the entire process and explain everything from credit score, mortgage applications, closing, and all of that information as well. And then what about keeping the house?
Yeah, so that's part of the program too. Once somebody is approved into the program, we don't just build the house and say, here you go. We put them through, again, the financial coaching. And I think most significantly as well is we teach people right from the get-go, how do you use tools? How do you read a tape measure? How do you use a saw? And then they come out to the site to put those things to work. So I'll give you a story. We're building four houses in Wilmington right now. We're framing the houses. One of the homeowners came out. And we do use sometimes pneumatic nailers, and we're putting the walls together. And one of the prospective homeowners was there to put her sweat equity in, but she was standing back. And I said, here, you're going to learn how to do this. And I showed her how to do it, and she was using the nailer to put the walls together. And she just could not be more happy about learning and doing it herself. So to see the joy and the pride that they get from learning these skills they never thought they'd have, you know, all with the goal that, look, it's your house. You're going to have to take care of it someday. You need to not be afraid of tools and trying to get in there and take care of things.
What is the financial education that you give them? And then I want to get into home maintenance, too.
Yeah, so the financial education, you know, we run the gamut of talking about budgeting, managing your money. We talk about predatory lending, which is a major issue in some low-income communities where, you know, payday lenders or car loans, they're taking advantage of low-income people because they don't have the education about interest rates and loans. But we also talk about, you know, what is equity? You know, what's equity in a home? The value of your home and why it's important to take care of it. So we're really trying to fully prepare them to financially be successful homeowners and, as they steward this asset. And that's part of the home maintenance piece is, you know, yes, your house is worth where it's located, but it's also worth what kind of condition it's in. So we really kind of stress, you know, a number of reasons why you should take care of your house. It's not just, oh, it looks nice, but look, that's, you know, it's just like I give you $150,000. What do you do with it? Do you invest it or do you just let it sit under your mattress? You know, so, you know, let's say they have a house, it's worth $150,000. What do you do with that? Do you, you know, paint the house in 7 years? Do you do some landscaping? How does it look? How are you taking care of it?
Do you know how to fix the toilet when it's leaking and what to do if you've got some moisture on the walls?
Correct. You know, and the other aspect that we build a quality house. We're concerned for these families that what is going to be the ongoing maintenance. So we don't leave the house where there's a lot of exterior painting or something they have to get up on a ladder. You know, we want to build a really good house so that there's not issues for them down the line, which, you know, we often see with other low-income homeowners and why we do the repair work we do.
This is Focus forgot the name of the show there for a moment. That's an edit. This is Focus on the Delaware. I'm going to do the other one first. You're listening to Our Delaware Valley. This is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and today we're talking to Kevin Smith, who is the CEO of Habitat for Humanity of Newcastle County. And if you'd like more information about what we're talking about, go to habitatncc.org. That's habitatncc.org. You can also give them a call at 302-652-0365, but habitatncc.org, the place to go. You said something there that really struck me, and that was steward. Be a steward of this asset. And it's not just your asset, it's part of a neighborhood now too, and it affects your neighbors' properties, et cetera. And you're building community and neighborhoods through this work. And so you try to pick an area and keep it developed. What about the repair work and getting into that, because and restoring another house? Because I know a lot of people, they might have a home and it needs repairs, but yet, let's face it, lenders are not always going to lend to everyone.
Yeah, what we've discovered as we've done this work over the 30 years we've been here in Newcastle County is, you know, it's all well and good to make these investments in these neighborhoods with new housing, but there were homeowners right around the projects that we were working on who also had needs. And as you try to change the neighborhood and how it looks, there might be a senior or a low-income person who just doesn't have enough money to fix their roof or, you know, paint the house or fix the toilet or those things, you know, that are so crucial. So we created this program. It's called A Brush with Kindness. Most of the time it's free repairs. It depends on the money that we are able to raise. And we qualify people for that work as well. But we've found it's really an important neighborhood building project for us, a program. You know, in many cases, probably allowing people to age in place and stay in their homes long term. You know, because, you know, once the roof goes, everything else eventually is going to go. So, you know, several years ago on the east side of Wilmington, we did 8 repairs, many of them seniors. We found that these folks had 5 and 6 layers of old roofing on their houses because they could only afford a patch. So we took all of that off and gave them a brand new roof. You know, and the sense of peace and that they have now about that is tremendous.
In so many neighborhoods, when gentrification begins, if you can't repair, the money looks good to just sell it to somebody who can qualify for a big loan or a mortgage, et cetera, to move in and fix up the house. And that's how neighborhoods fall apart in a lot of cases.
Yeah, or, you know, you'll have what you might call slum landlords. You know, you've got dilapidated housing. Nobody wants to buy it. Well, some investor buys it but barely fixes it up. And yes, there needs to be affordable rental out there, just like home ownership. But if you're going to buy a property and not really make it back to be an asset to the community, you're really helping to bring the neighborhood down. So, you know, we need all kinds of positive investment in these neighborhoods. Affordable rental is necessary too, but it's got to be done in such a way that it continues the momentum of changing the neighborhood in the right direction also.
Well, you mentioned the program Rock the Block. Now, what is that?
Yeah, so last year we were fortunate to get some funding from Lowe's and Wells Fargo, and it's really with the emphasis on, okay, again, we're trying to change these neighborhoods, but how does the rest of the neighborhood look? Is there vacant lots that are overgrown? Is there fencing we can put around there? Are there some exterior things like landscaping or painting we can do to homeowners' houses? So in 2 instances, last fall and this past spring, we did projects on the east side of Wilmington to really spruce up, clean up the neighborhood. And what was great, too, was it culminated both times with a community cleanup that involved neighbors from the community, people who, you know, there's a lot of people concerned about their neighborhood. And they just need somebody to come alongside them and work with them to help them make it better.
Well, you mentioned that the crime goes down when you clean up a vacant lot, when you spruce up something. Remember, nobody mentions it anymore. It's dropped from our common culture, but the tipple effect.
The tipple effect. So tell me about that.
Well, you clean up one thing, or you one thing can affect the rest of an area. It's the one project that maybe does create a ripple that everything tipples over, and now suddenly you've got more improvements, et cetera.
Yeah, and you know, there's even there's a story about Manhattan, the broken window effect. You know, if there's something, a broken window in a house that never gets fixed, then the message is it's okay that bad things happen around that house. And that just continues to spiral out from there in the neighborhood. So, yeah, you want to control that stuff, but also create positive effects too.
And you know what? I think that was actually one of the first examples in the tipple effect. It was about, oh gosh, I guess now it's 20 years old, that book. But so instead of a scatter effect too, you try to target an area and do as much as you can for a neighborhood.
Exactly. And you know, I think the other aspect of that is we spend more time getting to know the existing neighbors and the leaders that are in those communities, and that's important to them. They just don't want people to blow in and blow out of these neighborhoods. So they know that we're involved long term in trying to assist them and change their neighborhoods. You know, one of the things that we do with our homeowners is we require that they stay in the house for 10 years. So, you know, they're making a commitment not just to that house, but that community for 10 years. So part of what we're doing is providing civic engagement leadership training for our homeowners. We really see that our homeowners can be the future leaders in these communities. Many times they have leaders in these communities, but they've been at it a long time, and they need some extra shot in the arm, if you will, people coming in to help them.
So do you have any of that return on investment data, or do you have any impact studies that show the benefits of all of this?
So we do. We have impact studies with our homeowners. They're telling us that their children are doing better in school. In many cases, their children's grades have increased 1 to 3 grade letters. They're telling us that that their health has improved. As a family, they're eating together more often. Their financial situation has improved. They or their children have gone on to college. So we have that data. We do survey work with our homeowners every other year. We are just on the front end of trying to gather that data in the neighborhood context. We do know in some cases that we have been able to drive crime down and increase property values. So, you know, these are all important things for us to track and really communicate, you know, the impact that all this is making.
Mm. So how can we get involved? Now, I know we can support the Restores. You want to talk a little bit about how you drive this agency, how you drive this sucker along?
Yeah, of course, you know, like every nonprofit, we're driven on funding, and we get a diverse group of funders who support us. Of course, the corporations and banks in our community, the foundations. We do event fundraising, but we also get a lot of support from individuals. It's an area we're trying to grow. You know, the individual giving in Delaware has traditionally been weak. Many people think that the corporations are going to bear the brunt of supporting nonprofits, but we really need individuals to get behind and support us. It could be donations from $2,500 all the way up to $1,000 or more. You know, we We need people to sponsor the roof on a house. That's $2,500. The foundation is $10,000. But for people to really consider, you know, how they can help change somebody's life by supporting us at all those different levels. They can also support our restores. People don't always know that we run two thrift stores called Restore. And basically, we take in donations of construction material, household items, furniture, and we resell it back to the public at a discount at 50 to 90% off. So we have two stores, one at Price's Corner off of Kirkwood Highway and Newport Gap Pike, and also one down in Middletown in the Middletown Shopping Center. Combined, those stores do over $1.2 million in sales a year. So they're helping us net around $250,000 in income to help us sponsor nearly two houses a year. So people can donate their items to the Restore if they're in good and working order. We do pick up. That's one of the things I think that's distinct about the Restores. We schedule out about a week or more, and come to your house to pick up things because we know they're heavier items. But people can also shop. The stores are open to the public. So you'll find great deals. We have brand new materials there, brand new furniture, brand new construction materials. We do buy some materials that we sell to the public, laminate flooring. So the great thing is you go in from one week to the next and you can find some great deals there.
I know when we restored a house that we ended up with a couple of extra doors. We miscounted and bought two extra doors that we figured that out. Like, that tells you how long it took us to restore the house, but we figured it out too late to return them. So brand new doors, construction crews overestimate how much roofing material they're going to need. There it is. It's ready for someone else and you sell it at a great discount for someone.
Thank you, Laura, for doing that.
Well, I love the Restore. I love the Restore. I found a big box of real linoleum the other week when I was cleaning out the garage, and that went down there. Mm-hmm. So, the trouble is, though, then I buy a lampshade or I bring back something else into the house, so it's a wash in the long run. But, yeah, I love Restores. So, and what about getting out there, though, and picking up a pneumatic nailer? You want people to do that? Do you want groups? Do you want individuals? Or how does somebody get involved and go out there? We've got 1 minute remaining.
Yeah, we do. We build year-round. We build Tuesday to Saturday. People do not have to have construction experience to come out and volunteer with us. I will say our schedule fills up fast. We're already booked through October, but we will need help November, December, January, and February, no doubt. And for people to give a chance to come out and see what it's like. We especially like groups. It's easier for us to manage, groups of 10 to 15 people at a time. Again, go to our website, habitatncc.org, and there's actually a volunteer schedule in there that people can sign up there.
If I'm a business and I'm hearing this and I want to do one of those team builders, how many days are you looking for? Is it a single day?
It's a single day for corporations to come out, have a team building experience and support us. We have probably close to 40 businesses who do that same thing every year, and we're very well organized. They'll have a great experience.
And of course, all of that is found at habitatncc.org for Habitat for Humanity of Newcastle County. HabitatNCC.org. You can also call them 302-652-0365. But if you just type in, of course, Habitat, you will find it. And you'll also find the one closest to you, wherever you may be hearing this, actually. And if you're just joining us, you can find a podcast of this show at our website. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you very much, Laura, for having me.
You reminded me, it's been a week or so since I've been to a Restore. I need to get my butt back down there. My guest today has been Kevin Smith. He is the CEO of Habitat for Humanity of Newcastle County. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.